that they weren't perfect until Yaakov was the middle one. And the fact that they weren't perfect, even though Abraham was strong in chesed, in love, so what came out of him was the bad side of chesed, which was Yishmael.
Right.
And what came out of Yitzhak was the bad side of being too strong, too chumrah. Oh. Right? So you see that in the parasha, that Esav was pretending to be full of chumrah. Oh. Right? How do you tithe salt and all that? Yeah. Right? And he said that these are actually the two mistakes that we make in serving Hashem. Right? That either people go too much to the right, they're all love. Meaning, what does that mean? Meaning that everything's chesed, everything's fine, everything's good. Ah, so Hashem doesn't really matter if I don't keep Shabbos. Hashem doesn't really matter if I don't keep mitzvahs. He loves me anyway. Right? Too much. Right? It's very nice chesed. It's too much. Right? Hashem does matter. Right? It's too much. And the other way people go is, I have to do all these chumrot, all this strip, all these, I have to do everything, and if I don't, Hashem's going to be really upset with me. And that doesn't work either, because then a person just can't do it. So he gives up. Says, forget it. Right? And no man can serve Hashem in this world. It's just ridiculous. Right? So he said that, and that's the narrow bridge that we have to stay with. On the one side, to know that Hashem loves me and everything's fine, but he still wants me to do the command, and I can't let myself off the hook. But on the other side, not to be too strict with myself, because then I just give up and say, well, I forget it. Right?
Okay, I'm here.
Ishmael. Yeah. It, for himself, though, because it's the view of whatever I want is great. I can do anything. It's interesting. Now they seem to have switched. Right now, these are the two ways they come against us. Right, on that one, right? These are the two ways the enemy comes against us: the internal and the external. Right, either with. He said the one way is that they try and pull you away to make you forget. Oh no, he said this is Lavan and Esav. Right, the difference between Lavan and Esav is Esav comes at you with a knife. He's coming to kill you, and Lavan comes through trickery, so you don't even know he's coming. Right, he said Esav is the aspect of Mazid, and Lavan is Shogeg. Said, but in some ways Shogeg's worse than Mazid. Mostly Mazid's worse, right? Because you're doing it on purpose. But in one way Shogeg's worse. And that's because with Mazid, at least you know you did wrong. When you did something deliberately, you know, and you can make teshuva. When Shogeg, you do something wrong. You didn't even know. So it's hard to make teshuva if you didn't even know you did something wrong, right? You were Shogeg. So he said, so in one aspect, Lavan's even worse. He said, Lavan comes to try and pull us away. And it's interesting now that we know that Esav and Yishmael are right here, but they seem to be switched. Because now it's Yishmael that's coming at us with the knives and the guns right in your face, and Esav is coming at us subtly with Facebook and movies and right everything else to subtly kill us without us even realizing it, and they kind of switch on. Lavan is descended from Terah, from Abraham's father. Down the other side. Huh? Tov, anyway, Beit Lavan. It's Beit Lavan, wherever it is. Tov, Yaakov, everything good?
Oh, just missed the bus.
Oh, okay.
Beyond that, everything's still good. We had my son and daughter-in-law over for Shabbos, and we got an email from the high school saying that students can't use their phones while traveling outside, and they can't have their music players on. They have to be aware of what's going on.
Oh, so interesting.
They don't want to be on the news.
Okay. Yossi, do you want to start this again?
No, I'm just going to continue.
Okay, we are on in Masechet Sanhedrin, Kaf Tet, not Kaf Ket actually, we're on the bottom of Kaf Chet, Amud Bet, the last few words on the page. Bezrat Hashem, we'll get to the Mishnah today.
So 29a.
Unless we have any more Divrei Torah.
Okay. Sure. 28b.
28b.
29a.
28b4.
Okay.
And the page.
And then going on to 29A.
Good morning. Okay. So what are we learning? We're learning about being disqualified for being a judge, being a witness. B'nei Chamua D'mar Ugva. The sons of the father-in-law of Mar Ugva. Krovim, they were related. V'nitrachu Havu. And then they became distant. Right? Rashi said they became distant when Kishemeta Achotam Eshet Mar Ugva. Right? Their sister was Mar Ugva's wife. So they were brother-in-laws of Mar Ugva. Atu Lakame Ladina, and they came before him for a judgment. Right? So they were related, and then their sister, who was Mar Ugva's, the judge's wife, died, and then they came before him in the judgment. What's the law? What's the law?
There's no connection. Yeah.
They're okay?
Yeah, but he says they're not because...
Well, we haven't got there yet.
Yeah. Okay.
So...
Yeah,
shipment. Huh? Yeah, shipment. Ah, so there was, we saw in the Mishnah two views, right? The Tanakhama says that once you're distant, you're distant. And that's it. Once you're gone, you're gone. But Rabbi Yehuda in the Mishnah said, if you still had children, then that retains the connection. So, let's see what happened in this case. Amalahu, he said to them, right? Mar Ugva said to the brothers-in-laws that came for judgment, Pasilna lehu ledina, I am disqualified from you in judgment, right? Sorry guys, I have to go find another court. Amule, they said to him, My datcha, well, what's your reasoning? Why should you be disqualified? Karab Yehuda. Right, meaning, as in Karab Yehuda. Don't we follow Rav Yehuda? Right? Meaning only if. Only if they left children. Right? They Ma'uva didn't have any children. Yeah, Ma'uva didn't have any children. And... No. He had children. You're right, he had children. And he had children, and they're questioning him and saying, do we follow Rabbi Yehuda? The children... Retain the connection.
Maybe they ask. I mean, you would have said when they have children, then they disqualify themselves.
Yeah? No, Rabbi Huda said that, yeah, disqualified if they have children. So he must have had children.
So means they have no children.
No, because according to both opinions, if you have no children, then you're not disqualified.
Yeah. So he's saying.
But they're asking him, are we going by Rabbi Huda? So well, they wouldn't need to ask him who you're going by, because both opinions say. So assuming that he did have children, but he doesn't hold by Rav Yehuda, and they're saying that we don't hold by Rav Yehuda, and they're saying, wait a minute, do we hold by Rav Yehuda? And that's why you want to disqualify yourself. Anan, we. My Tinan Igrata, we brought, or we will bring, a letter, Me'arava, from the west, meaning Eretz Yisrael. De'ein halacha k'Rabbi Yehuda, that the halacha does not follow Rabbi Yehuda. We can prove you, if you think you're excusing yourself because we follow Rabbi Yehuda, and you've got children, then it's not correct, because we can bring you a letter from Eretz Yisrael that shows that's not the halacha. Amalekul, we said to them, nope, that's not the reason. Atu b'kava d'kira idbakna b'chu. Was I glued to you with a cav of wax?
That's a lot.
Was I glued to you with a cav of wax? What does he mean? Cav, a measurement?
Oh,
of wax.
Well, they use wax for a seal.
Dekua. No, abdika means to be glued. Dekua.
No, it
becomes
to be, I think.
Yeah.
It becomes to be glued.
Yeah, bakaba, dekua, of wax, kiwa. Kiwa is the wax.
It's like saying, am I glued to you with a liter of epoxy or super glue?
I guess if that's what they used to glue. Anyway, the point being, what's he saying? He's saying, meaning, am I still stuck to you now that the sisters died? No. Right? Meaning, I'm not, he's going to say his reason why. He starts off by saying, I'm not glued to you with wax. And the reason why I'm disqualifying myself is probably what he's going to say now. But I'm not glued to you with wax, meaning you're right. I don't hold that there's any connection between us. There's no wax. I know what the analogy is here. There's no wax gluing us together.
That's what Rabbi Yehuda says.
That
there is.
Rabbi Yehuda says there is. There is. He says, "Well, I'm not holding there's any wax between us here, guys. Right? Deloka amina pasilna lechuladina." I actually didn't say Pasilna Lechu Ladina. What did he say? Pasilna Lechu Ladina. He did say that. He did say that. Ella Mishum Delo Sayititu Dina. Only because you will not obey my decision. Right? Because your family, you're not going to give me the respect and actually obey my decision, right? Because we used to sit around, have lunch together, have coffee together. You'd shout at me, I'd shout at you. I know where we do play cards together. We're not allowed to play cards, but we disqualified, right? But meaning, you're not going to accept his ruling. If your uncle, who you've known for a long time and been very close with, right, and then his wife, your sister, your aunt died, right, and then you came for judgment before him, like you and you against your brother or whoever it was, right, I think it was two brothers that came before him to judge, right, so, yeah, I know that you said that, but we're not listening to you. He thought they weren't going to listen. Well, that's his answer. Because of the family connection, not because he was disqualified, but because he didn't think it was appropriate. So he wasn't disqualifying himself on a kind of a technical halachic ground. He was disqualifying himself on a practical ground. You're not going to listen to him, even though I'm allowed to judge his case. It's better for you to find someone else, because you'll actually listen to someone else. You'll listen to me.
That's the reason that in the first place why Krovim in a way aren't
allowed. No, the reason though is because Krovim, we don't trust them being impartial.
That's what
he's saying. No.
They're too friendly.
No, meaning, not because he'll impartial, not because I'm going to be biased in favour of one or the other, but because the judgment I give, you're not going to listen to. Meaning, like Rabbi Elgod said, right? Rabbi Elgod said that his wife doesn't listen to him in halacha. Unless he pulls out sefer, says in his book, right? He can't, even though he's a big posek, his wife won't listen to him in halacha. Because it's too close. It's not that she doesn't believe him. It's not that he's partial, like he wants her to not use the milky spoon in the meaty pot, right? When you're close, you don't accept somebody's... I know, you have children, huh? So children don't always accept what we're saying, even though what we're saying is logical and clear and whatever. Stan, yeah, I know Abba, fine, thank you very much. I'll, right, because Abba said it. So Daska, I can't accept it. Even though it's not said in a... But the reason why I couldn't accept it is because it came from Abba. Right, so I think something like that. Right, it's too close. Too close as a...
And the reverse also holds true, too.
What?
If your son says something... My stepson holds Rabbeinu Tam, and Brother Elgred said we don't hold by Rabbeinu Tam. So right. I told him that we don't hold by Rabbeinu Tam.
Okay. I'm going to find the argument there. Can if you want. It's more strict. You don't have to. For Shabbos, you're talking.
Yeah.
Okay. If he wants it, very nice. Very, very, very praiseworthy. Here a lot of people. But you don't have to. Okay. So that's that. Next, Ohev Zer Shushvinu. Right. So we said a person who is hated or loved can't be a witness or a judge. Right? So we said the one who is loved, who is that? He's your shushvinu. He's the one who is your best man, so to speak, the one that prepares the wedding. But interestingly, it's not a lifelong job.
Huh?
Yeah, ke'ilu. But it's specific, it's not just a best friend, it's someone who actually does the wedding. Why? Because we see here that the actual law is v'kama. How long is he considered to be a shushvinu for? Like, is it 20 years, 30 years? He was your shushvinu 20 years ago and he can't testify against you now? Because 20 years ago he did a kind favor for you? No, so what's the law? Kama, how long? Amaravava, amarav. Kol shivat yimei hamishteh. Only during the Sheva Brachot. Only during the 7 days of the Sheva Brachot, after the wedding, that's when he's considered to be a shushvinu. After that, he's free to testify. Rabbanan, mishmeh dorav amrei, afilu miyom mishon ve'elech, even from the first day. Right, so he did the wedding, and then the next day, free, meaning only the wedding day itself. Right, how much goodwill we have? How much does my goodwill extend to my best man? Just for the good day of the wedding. After that, Tom, thank you very much. I don't know if this is Chazal having a dispute here about the inner workings of the person's mind, like whether they're often halacha is based on what the Tana thinks is the person's what's really going on. So apparently here we're learning here that we're pretty shallow and we don't hold such a bond for more than the wedding. More than the Sheva Brachot, and maybe even after the first day. Tov. Next one, Hasoneh. What about the Soneh, the enemy? We said, Kol Shalot Dibrei Tol Shloshim Yom. Anyone who didn't speak to him for 30 days?
3 days.
3 days. 3 days. Out of enmity, right. Not just he didn't have to see him, but 3 days deliberately. He chose not to speak to him. Okay. Tanu Rabbanan. Taught in a brighter, but who lo oyev lo? Right, we learned in the that's from a pasuk, right? The pasuk says who lo oyev lo, and he wasn't his enemy. Right, we learned this makot,
mm-hmm.
And in the laws of shogeg, who's a shogeg? Someone who came by accident. He wasn't his enemy from the day before, because if he was his enemy, then it's not shogeg, right? So we can learn the same law from here. Who lo oyev lo? He's not his enemy. Yidenu, right, that he may testify. So we learn here the testify from that part of the pasuk who lo oyev lo, that someone who's not his enemy can testify against the killer, right, against him. V'lo mevakesh ra'ato, and he didn't seek his harm, and that. Yadinenu, to judge him. So here we see that we're splitting the witnessing and the judging. We haven't done that really up until now. Here we've got two separate Torah pasukim, two different proofs, one for not being a witness and one for not being a judge. Right? Mostly we've just taken them together. Gemara says, Ashkhan Soneh. Now we found the enemy, Ohev Minalan, right? You said that an enemy and a loved one are forbidden, right? And it's not simply on a Sfara basis that makes sense. Don't have an enemy testifying or witnessing, and don't have someone who's a good friend. Well, it's logic. No, Gemara wants to know. Where's the source in the Torah? Right, so we found the source now for the sonnet. And what about the ohev? What about the loved one? Krei bei hachi. Read it like this. V'hu lo ohev lo. When it says v'hu lo ohev lo, v'lo ohev lo. Read it like ohev. Ohev and ohev apparently are sound the same. And therefore, we can suggest that we can learn out ohev from ohev. Okay? Might be a little bit forced. Yidanu, that he can testify, but he can't testify about him.
Like love and love.
Love and love, right. So the fact that you're not happy about it, well, the Gemara is not either, because the Gemara also rejects it. But it made it onto the page, so it was definitely worth considering, right? If it made it onto the page, right? The Gemara rejects it by saying, V'lom avakesh ra'ato, v'lo tovato, yodieno. This is the second half of the proof. V'lom avakesh ra'ato, and what do we learn out from, and he didn't seek his harm, v'lo tovato, and also not his benefit. Right, it wants to make the reverse on both. Just like the Oyev, there's an Ohev, and just like, so two on the, he didn't seek his harm, he didn't seek his benefit either. Anyway, it's very weak, because the Gemara says, Midei Ohev Ketiv. Wait a minute, is it written Ohev? It's not written Ohev, is it? So, Ela, so forget that, Ela Sabrahu. Rather we have to rely on, here we have to rely on logic. Oyev my Tama. We have a passive for Oyev, so what's the reason that we don't allow an Oyev, an enemy? Mishum demarafek macharka date, because his opinion is pushed away, right? When he's an enemy, his date is not, he's not yashar. He's pushed away from giving him a good verdict. Ohev nami makarva date. And so too, the logic is that obviously the other way around works too.
He's not thinking about the possibilities, positive or negative.
He's more pushed towards his favor, right? We know that judges aren't allowed to accept a bribe, and even Moshe and Aaron would be disqualified, and even at the level of a priest. Right, we saw in different Gemaras. We saw actually in this one, right? The one who brought in a cab of dates every Friday, and he brought him a day early. He got a benefit of having a bag of dates a day early, and he said that disqualified him. So, our minds are very easily swayed. Oh, I had an amazing story, by the way. Let me just share this with you. Yeah, we'll still get to the Mishnah. Right, so I was at Sheva Bochas on Thursday night. So a guy who's getting married, who got married at Sheva Bochas, right? And I know we invited friends of theirs, invited us, but anyway, very nice. So he's, who is he? So he's interesting story. He's 20 years ago he made Aliyah from Germany, and when he was like 20 or whatever, and he did the army. He's in the army for a couple of years, and then after the army he was living in Tel Aviv, Chiloni, Jewish. His mum's Jewish. His father wasn't. His mother's Jewish, and he was by himself here in Israel, and Chiloni Lagambe. Right after the army, so he in Tel Aviv he got missionized by some Christians. Anyway, so they did a good job on him, and he started learning Christianity, and because he's a Jew, he's a smart guy. So they put him on the priesthood fast track, and very smart. So he started going around Europe and all these symposiums and whatever. It was like, Mamash, going up the ranks. And he was invited into Opus Dei. What Opus Dei is? Opus Dei is basically the Papal Academy. It's like the Vatican. Right, that's opus Dei. Right, so he was doing that. Right, and so what happened? Ah, so interesting. Yeah, so he was doing all of this. So what happened was, so he started to have a problem, like a physical / psychological problem. He couldn't sleep. Right, when he was, once he was in Europe doing all the stuff in Europe and right, all that, he said he just couldn't sleep. He would sleep for like an hour, 2 hours a night maximum, and that was it. Just couldn't sleep. And he went to doctors, went to psychologists, no one really knew what it was. Anyway, but he managed to, right, carried on. Eventually, someone put in touch with one psychologist and says, I don't really know what it is, but I have seen a case like this once before. And in the case that I heard about once before that was like this, that someone couldn't sleep, it was because they had a broken heart, right? And in that case, they were missing their homeland. It was someone who was taken away from somewhere, and they were very much missing home, right? So, so I don't know, maybe you should consider home for him was Israel. But, okay, he thought about it, he wasn't like convinced. But so they had a... one of the trips to Germany. So in Germany, he was in Munich, and he decided to go and speak to Chabad, just to see if there was anything in this, right? Because he was worried about, you know, I'd like to sleep at some point, right? So he spoke to Chabad, and Chabad gave him a siddur and taught him how to daven Shemona Esrei. But he was then, but he was keeping on doing the priesthood thing, right? So he was like doing kind of a little bit of both. So then he says, what happened? So he said, one occasion he was in some symposium meeting thing. And they're very careful about not mentioning about Jews, right? Not getting into. But on this occasion, one of the other guys, right, just laid in the Jews and Israel. And he happened to be taping it because he was like one of the administrators now. And he was taping the thing. So he had the tape and he took it to the bosses, said, look, it's not acceptable, right? You see, he didn't really care about the Jewish, but he was Israeli, right? So, talking about my homeland, right? It's a bit of a disconnect, but there you go. Around the same time, he said there was a big scandal in the church, like in the upper church, when they had one of these, big meeting things that turned into a party. Why was it a party? Because they were celebrating Hitler's birthday. So it was a big scandal, and they got rid of everyone and hushed it all up. But they were like very nervous about this stuff. So he said that he went with his tape and said, "Look, it's not acceptable that they're doing this." And, right, and he also wasn't happy about the fact that they're very excited about him anyway because he was Israeli, and to have someone with an Israeli passport high up in the Vatican, that would be good for them, right? But they kept trying to push on him the peace now that like the Palestinians and right, because the Christian Church is very in with the Palestinians, right? So they were trying to, and he was saying it's nonsense. Trust me, I was there. It's not true, right? And he was having arguments with them from that side. Anyway, so then he went with the tape. When he went with the tape, they said to him, look, we think it's probably best that we just part ways at this point. And so they parted ways, and they said, you know, we're going to cover all your tuition and all your accommodation, everything that we paid for you for the last, I don't know, 3-4 years when we've been looking after you. Like, we'll cancel it all. Like, you don't owe us anything. And we're going to write you a letter saying that you're officially not Christian anymore. Right? Right, so anyone who like got to that level and like, right, so you obviously there's something wrong with you too, you're not Christian, so we're signing a letter that you're not Christian, so that's right, you're out that way. And and he left, and he flew back to Israel with $200 in his pocket, and and a year ago, and he said he landed in Israel, he didn't know what to do, so he called Machon Meir and said, I'm a Jew that's been studying Christianity, can I come? I said, yeah, come. So that was a year ago, and last week he got married. He's now Chabad. interesting chair of office.
Any questions in his Jewishness? I don't know, is it Jewish from Israel? No question.
No, they knew he was Jewish.
Question. Oh, they knew.
They were quite happy. He said he met several Jews in the church. He said there's a high up bishop, or I don't know what they call him in France, who's a Jew. He said he met with him and had a chat.
He's Jewish? A high person
in France.
Wow.
Yeah.
Jewish, wow. Yeah. The president?
No, well, someone. But he said, yeah. No one was bothered. He was very open about it. Anyway. Interesting. So let's get to the Gemara. Rabbanan, in the Mishnah, at the end of the Mishnah, we said one's enemy or one's friend is disqualified. Amula, they said to him, meaning Rabbanan said to him, Lo nechshedu Yisrael aka. Am Yisrael are not suspected of this, right? So we see that Rabbanan argue with the concept. So it's only. We have a Tanakhama. It's only the Tanakhama. Apparently it says here Rabbi Yehuda. Why is that Rabbi Yehuda? Rabbi Yehuda continued from the previous statement. So it's only Rabbi Yehuda that says that the enemy or the friend is disqualified. Rabbanan say no. Rabbanan say that the fact that you're an enemy or a friend doesn't disqualify you from being a witness. Then the Gemara says, Rabbanan, what about them? Hai lo oyev. My Derish Bay. Right? We just said that there's a Pasuk. Rav Yehuda was relying on a Pasuk, at least for Oyev. Not for Ohev, we couldn't find one, but for Oyev we found a Pasuk. So he had a Pasuk, we said, you learn from the Pasuk, but you're not allowed to be an enemy and be a witness. So what do Rabbanan do with that Pasuk? Right? They've got, how do they understand that Pasuk if they don't use it to teach that an enemy cannot be a witness? Answer. Chad l'dayan idach k'detanya. So what's chad? Here, chad is one part of the verse. Right, the verse is divided into two. Lo oyev, lo, that's part one. The lo v'kesh rato, that's part two. Right? So, out of the two parts of the verse, chad l'dayan, one comes to disqualify a judge. But not a witness. They agree that a judge can't be a friend or an enemy, but they don't agree that you can't be a witness. A witness, you're allowed to be a witness. Win the Gemara. But they don't agree with Rabbi Yehuda that a friend or an enemy can't be a witness. To be a judge is different. To be a judge, they agree. You've got to be impartial to be a judge. But to be a witness, you just need to be telling the truth. There's no reason to not tell the truth. You might be swayed in your judgment, but that's being a judge. But we don't care about your judgment if you're a witness. You just have to tell the truth. You're not meant to be judging anything. You're not asking. We're not asking for you for your opinion. Do you think he meant to kill him, right? Or is he? You just say what you saw. So there's a difference. Okay. So Chazal Dayan. So one part of the verse comes to disqualify a judge. And the other part of the verse is like we learned in a Braita. Amar Rabbi Yossi Barabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yossi said in the Rabbi Yehuda, Vahu lo yev lo mevakesh rato. Right? The passage we just learned. He's not his enemy, he didn't seek his harm. Mikan, the shnei tamidei chachamim, she sonin ze et ze, she ein yoshvim badin echad. So they learn out a second law, Rabbanan. from this passage instead. What's that? They learn out the law that was taught in the Brita, which that if two Talmidei Chachamim hate each other, they're not allowed to sit together in judgment, which is a separate law. Right? We've been talking about whether or not someone who hates the litigant is allowed to judge him, or someone who is friends with the litigant is allowed to be his witness. We're not about talking about the relationship between the judges. Who cares? Right? In terms of whether they hate each other. But here, we're learning out, no. We're also learning out from this, that two judges who hate each other cannot judge together. Why not? What's wrong with hating each other? What's that got to do with the case? Why does it matter if they hate each other? What's it got to do with the case? Why should we disqualify two judges who hate each other?
They won't want to sit together.
Because they have to sit together, they just have to sit and listen to the guy, decide whether he's telling the truth or not. Guilty, not guilty.
They may hate each other so much that they won't want to say agree to what the other one thinks, except the other person's.
Kind of. But there's actually what's really going on is the fact that the judges they discuss the case, like between themselves, in order to before they make their decision, and they go away and they talk about it, whatever, and they convince each other or argue with them, and if they hate each other, then that's not going to allow for that. Whereas if they love each other, that's fine. Very nice.
Whatever
you say. You want to kill him? You want to kill him?
Sick for me. Bazuna. But then they, when they do fights, they can do it?
Yeah, they can do their fight. Yofi. It doesn't say about being witnesses. Being witnesses doesn't seem to be a problem. Right? If you have two witnesses who hate each other, I don't think that's a problem. Two witnesses who love each other, I don't think it's a problem either. Between the witnesses, it doesn't matter. Because it doesn't affect anything. Tov, start the new Mishnah tomorrow.